We're going to be today in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 18 to verse 25 today. Just kind of an introduction. Wednesday night will be these verses of Scripture, and then Sunday we will enjoy the full program of all the Gospels, including some wonderful Old Testament Scripture verses we'll be reading. Matthew chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today. I praise you for the opportunity to come and to read your precious word. I just ask, Father, that you'll give us strength and direction and wisdom as we enjoy and fellowship over your precious word. I ask for your power and your strength. We need your wisdom each and every day. Without your wisdom, dear Lord, we have no opportunity of knowing you, of walking with you, of serving you. We need your wisdom. We need your strength. You touch our hearts first by showing us who we are, a wicked, old, filthy sinner. And then you show us your Son, the Lord Jesus, and the great love that he has shown towards us in coming down here, dying on the cross, raised again on the third day. But Father, that, what you have done for us, those things you've done for us, has given us life if we just come by faith to you. So thank you, Father, for all the gifts that you've given us. I ask that you show us your way and will today. Those that are here, if they do not know you as their Savior, that today they will come and they will know you. They'll invite you into their hearts, know you personally. And Father, once we're born again, then we begin to grow. And so please, teach us your word today that we may grow and learn more about you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture here in verse 18 basically tells us, and I'm going to change the words slightly, here's how it happened. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Here's how it happened. We have Mary and we have Joseph. These verses of scripture, if you have been saved for many years, you're very familiar with them. Even if you were in a very liberal church, you still went through these verses of Scripture probably more than any other. And so even though you weren't born again, these are verses of Scripture that you went to a Christmas program possibly, and you watched them set the manger scene up, and they would have someone portraying Mary and then the baby and the shepherds and all that came along with it. And then it was a long program because normally the wise men showed up. And so it was 2 years long, approximately, is how long that program would have to last to have the wise men come. But they're always a part of it. And so we're familiar with these words and with these scripture verses. Mary, chosen by God to bring his son here to earth, we know very little about. We know what line she comes through, her lineage. We know very little about her family. We know that she was a family to Elizabeth. And so some of those things we know, but really very little. We know that she was a godly young lady. She was a just young lady, and she was a humble young lady, and God chose her as a vessel to perform this miracle to bring the Lord Jesus here to earth and to give him a body. Joseph, the same. We know his trade. He was a carpenter. We know that what family he come from. We have both of them was from the lineage of David, and so we know that that both of them they're a little bit of their family. We actually know less about Joseph than we know about Mary. They kind of came onto the scene, and then they were gone. They had a purpose, and they fulfilled that purpose. We know that at the crucifixion, Mary was present, and Jesus told John, my mother, you know, you take care of her, and he did. Where was Joseph? It's felt that Joseph has died. We don't know. And so we really know very little about these two. Some today make a big deal about Mary. And that name is, instead of saying the name of Jesus, it's spoken of the son of Mary. And that's so sad. Because Mary, a usable vessel, just like you and I are usable vessels if we make ourselves prepared and usable. So did Mary. And Mary had this blessed opportunity right here. Here's how it happened. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The virgin birth. The virgin birth. What's so important about the virgin birth? Is it important? The virgin birth. I'm going to share something with you because it's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. God said to Israel and to us, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He did not say that when I see what church you go to or what customs you have or what traditions you perform every year or how much you have in your bank account or that you keep the Ten Commandments or that you do good works. He didn't say any of that. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now that, of course, was given to them, first of all, at the first Passover supper, as they were beginning about to be delivered out of the land of Egypt, and they were to put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, and if that blood was there, and they were in that home, they were outside that home, it was death, because the death angel was coming. And so without the blood, it would be certain death. With the blood, but not following the way God had planned, it would still be death. They were told to prepare the meat a certain way, to do everything, but the critical part was to apply the blood across the doorpost on the lintel, and now then when that death angel would come by, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Well, do you realize that that saying has never, ever changed? Because do you know what? Now God the Father, when he looks down at us, if we're born again believers, what does he see? He sees the blood. He sees the precious blood of Christ that was shed for you and for me. That's what he sees. It has nothing to do with the name on your church, the traditions that you have, how much money you have. God had to see the blood on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was something that they received when they received the plans of the tabernacle. Shortly after leaving Egypt, coming to Mount Sinai, then they received the Ten Commandments and the plans of the tabernacle, and then these feasts that they held. One was the Day of Atonement. And on that day, as we talk many times, they would take two goats. One goat was, they would literally flip a coin, and one was put to death. And his blood was gathered, the other was left alive, and then the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, but not without the blood. You can never go into the presence of God without the blood. That high priest, if he would have attempted in any way to go into the Holy of Holies without doing it God's way, without having the blood, he would have died instantly. He would have died instantly. So, my friend, it is when I see the blood, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that means he will save you. He will keep you from death when he sees the blood. The blood of our Savior Jesus is not an option to believe. It is a requirement to believe. If you have salvation in the Lord Jesus, you know of the perfect blood of the Lord Jesus. What makes Jesus' blood perfect when he took on a body here upon this earth? What makes him perfect? What makes him different than you and I? Had a body? Lived here on this cursed earth? Lived among us? What's the difference? The difference is the blood. It is always the blood that makes the difference. It makes the difference for ours whether we have salvation or don't have salvation. It makes a difference whether we're saved or we're not saved. It made a difference whether Jesus could save us. It was all set on the blood. It was all set on the blood. Blood is mentioned in the Bible approximately 700 times from Genesis to Revelation. 700 times. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, we find. This is what happened. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Espoused means engaged. At this time, it was very much the custom that the bride-to-be would live at home. She wasn't out with her career living by herself. She was probably living at home. And she had was engaged, and an engagement at this time was equal to a marriage. Equal to a marriage, because when we get down a little bit further here, and being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privately. Privately, he gave her a writ of divorce. They weren't legally, as we would call it, married. But this engagement to be espoused to each other was equal to that. And by the law, he would need to give her a writ of divorce. Because you see, now that she's with child, he can't marry her. But being a just man, a good man, I believe loving Mary very, very much, he was not going to allow the alternative which would have been death for Mary. And so, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches so plainly that Jesus was conceived in the womb of this young virgin Jewish girl by a supernatural act, conceived by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. It's important. We must believe it. We must know that fact. It's not just important, it's of necessity. Because if you believe that Jesus was born by man here upon earth, he cannot be our Savior. He cannot be. This is the only way that Jesus could be perfect. Did you know that the blood of a conceived child has its origin only from the Father? Only from the Father. The mother carries the baby through its full term, and yet it's the blood of the Father that has literally given life to this baby. It's the blood of the Father, not the mother. And matter of fact, there is no blood of the mother that ever intermingles with the child. Ever. You see, it's all about the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ saves us. The blood of Jesus Christ can save us because Jesus was virgin born, fathered by the Holy Spirit. It's all about the blood. God has made, because of Adam, one blood, all nations of the earth. And that bloodline is poisoned. And so anyone that is born from man, anyone that is born from man, without question, dies. Why do we die? It's because we've got a poisoned bloodline. It's been poisoned by sin. And that came about when Adam and Eve chose to be disobedient, did not listen to God, did not follow His directions, ate of the forbidden fruit, and sin came into mankind. Sin is repeated in mankind by the seed of man. By the seed of man, not by woman. By the seed of man, sin continues. When the seed of man is planted into a woman, a child is born, and at the exact same second, so is sin. So is sin. If you've had children, if you've been around children, how old do they have to be before they become disobedient to you? About that much. Day one. Sin comes upon the conception of the seed of man. Keep it in mind, it is totally separate. An example that was given, and I think it's an excellent example, and that's the example of an egg. If you look at an egg, and that egg is not fertilized, what happens to that egg? You best eat it soon. If you don't eat it, it's not long that it has the most horrendous odor. Nothing worse than rotten eggs. What happens if it's fertilized? What happens if an egg is fertilized? They have taken pictures, and almost the second that egg is fertilized, there's a red line of blood that begins. The blood of that baby chick comes from the father. Always comes from the father. That's how Jesus can come to earth, because it was not of the seed of man, of the seed of God. Perfect blood. If you deny the blood of Jesus Christ and his power and his strength, you have no salvation. You can't have salvation and deny the blood of Jesus. His perfect blood right now is upon the throne of God, the Holy of Holies right now. Perfect blood. Perfect blood. God knew how to create man, how his son could come and be born in the flesh and still be perfect. He did that. That's what this virgin birth is all about. That's what, when we come together at Christmas time and we sing all these beautiful hymns and we preach these messages and we read these verses of Scripture, it's all about the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how it happened. This is how it happened. God had to change the bloodline. He had to change the bloodline. If you have anyone that questions the virgin birth, they can't have salvation. If they say they're saved and yet don't believe in the virgin birth, they're not saved. If they say they're saved and they deny the power of the perfect blood of Jesus, they're not saved. They're not saved. Salvation comes. I love this scripture verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How can he do that? Because he's perfect. That's how. How is he perfect? Because he's fathered by the Holy Spirit, not by man. There's a total separation in the blood of the woman from the child. The blood is the father's. Jesus was fathered by the Holy Spirit. Why did he do this? As the 21st verse tells us, that he could come and save his people. Not save his people from hunger, not save his people from storms, from fears, from sin. That's what Jesus has come here to do, to save his people, you and me, from sin. And God created man so that he could have his son come down, take on the body of a man, walk upon this earth. Because you see, the offering, the sacrifice had to be perfect. There were many offerings, many sacrifices through all the years. Abraham put his son upon the altar. I believe Abraham thought that he was the Savior. But you see, he can't be, because Abraham was the father. And when man has a part in that child, sin is present. We've got to get rid of man, sinful man. And Jesus was born of the virgin, perfect blood. Once again, our blood is poisoned by sin. It is poison. It kills. There is no life in it. The only way that we can have life is if we believe in the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb, that's who saves. His precious blood. As we look at the rest of these verses of Scripture, now the birth of the Lord Jesus, of Jesus Christ, was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, being a good man, not willing to make a public example, I believe he loved her very much, he did not understand, was minded to put her away privately, was going to get her a private writ of divorce. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, Mary first, and then Joseph. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and this was done 750 years before, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I believe Mary knew of the prophet Isaiah. And I believe when Mary was told what was to happen, that she recognized she was the one that God chose. I believe when the angel of the Lord talked to Joseph, Joseph knew Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And when those words came to him, he knew that his bride-to-be was chosen to bring the Son of God to earth, put on a body. And he immediately received her. No longer did he desire any writ of divorce, but he took her in and they were wed. And again, stayed physically separated until the child was born. But as we look at these verses of Scripture, I believe Joseph knew the Word of God. I believe Mary knew the Word of God. And so these words, when they heard them, explain this to me. Tell me about this. Because they were not ignorant to the Word of God. They were just godly people. Why, once again, did this come in this manner? So Jesus could save his people from their sins. That's why he came. Many years ago, only happened one time, I was handed the Bible to read the Christmas story at my folks' house. My family was there. And I opened it up, began to read. I believe I read out of Luke, if I remember right, been many years ago. Read the Christmas story. As soon as I finished with talking about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, and talking about the shepherds and the wise men, talking about the star in the east, then I turned back to the crucifixion. Because you see, at that time I was saved. And I wanted to tell them why Jesus come. They sat quietly all and listened to the Christmas story. But as soon as I started with the crucifixion, everybody got up and everybody got busy. They didn't want to hear that. They want to see this cute little manger scene with a baby there. But you see, it's all about the blood. It's not about that cute little baby. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ that saves. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It's the blood of Jesus. He came down here. God had it all planned out. He was able to come here, take on the body of a man, live as a man, die as a man, and taking all of our sin upon him the perfect sacrifice so we could live. That's what we're celebrating today. What a glorious day. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you today for your precious word. I ask that we all understand that we had to have that perfect sacrifice. That perfect sacrifice could not come through man, born of a virgin, fathered by the Holy Spirit. Then, Father, your Son, perfect, could live and die, being the perfect sacrifice, and take our sins away. And he did. He was faithful to and was obedient to do what you had called him to do, Father. And now all we need to do is call upon you for salvation. Please, Lord Jesus, save me. The Holy Spirit convicts our heart, shows us who we are, and then we call upon you for salvation. You by right should just show us how filthy we are, how sick we are because of our sin being, our blood being sick with sin. You show us that, but just as quickly you show us salvation, life. Man brings death. Father, your Son brought life. All we need to do is come by faith to you. So please, dear Lord, touch every heart today. Ask that you take the words that's been spoken and touch our hearts with it. Grow us, dear Lord, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.